The last week of June is a period that usually excites news junkies. That's the time each year the Supreme Court hands down its rulings for the year. This year, of course, the attention was focused on two very controversial issues before the court: Arizona's immigration law and President Obama's health care law. Overlooked, but not to be ignored, was another ruling earlier that same week that barred, finally, mandatory life sentences without parole for juveniles convicted of murder. In a 5-4 ruling, Justice Elena Kagan, for the majority, wrote that many state laws mandated life without parole for the most serious juvenile offenders, quote, even if a judge or jury would have thought that his youth, along with the nature of his crime, made a lesser sentence more appropriate. The New York Times reports that there are currently about 2,000 convicts in our prisons who were sentenced to life without parole as juveniles under mandated sentencing laws. But the picture is even worse for some of them. A 2007 study by the University of San Francisco's Center for Law and Global Justice found that of 44 states that permitted life without parole for juveniles, 13 states had no minimum age for such sentences. California was second in the nation, after Pennsylvania, in the number of people serving mandated life terms for committing crimes before reaching adulthood. 227 Californians fall in this category, including Antonio Nunez, the only child in America known to be condemned to life without parole for a single incident in which no one was injured. Antonio was 14 in 2001 when, in the company of a 27-year-old man he had met at a party, he kidnapped a Santa Ana businessman and shot at police. He was found guilty of attempted murder of a police officer, assault, evading arrest, street terrorism, and committing crimes for the benefit of a street gang. But no one was hurt in this process. The Equal Justice Initiative of Montgomery, Alabama, reports that across the country, 73 children, like Antonio Nunez, have been sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for crimes committed when they were 13 or 14. The United States is the only country in the world known to have condemned children that young to imprisonment till death. The vast majority of these cases involve minority children where judges were forced by state law to impose the sentences without considering the child's age, background, or circumstances of the crime. But now, the mandate for trying children in adult court and imposing life sentences is over. In part, the rationale for the Supreme Court's ruling included research showing that the less well-formed brains of the young make them less morally culpable and more capable of change later. Indeed, MRI research on the developing brains of children and adolescents and young adults shows large differences. Children and adolescents have significantly less myelin in the areas of the brain's frontal lobe than do young adults aged 23 to 30. More myelin is associated with maturation of cognitive functioning and other decision-making skills. Additionally, as parents of teenagers have always known, and as the MRI studies confirm, there are biological reasons for differences in how teens process emotions. They are impulsive and less able to gauge consequences and less able to resist peer pressure. So, the decision reached by the court with respect to sentencing of juveniles who have committed the most egregious crimes means that, from now on, those cases will be adjudicated on the basis of justice informed by science and not by politics. That's reasonable and appropriate, and in the best interest of an informed society. The Supreme Court got this right. Good for us. For The Moral Is, this is Jacques Benninga.